You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ermilla, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. This is a special emergency episode. The worst-kept secret in Miami is finally out, with the Athletics' Shams Charania confirming what we've known for some time, that Houston's James Harden has included Miami and Milwaukee on his list of preferred trade destinations. So to help it break it all down, I'm joined by Jackson Gatlin of Locked On Rockets to talk about the Harden request, whether Houston actually trades him, what the Rockets would want in exchange in any deal, and how Miami's potential trade packages ranks among any other potential suitors. It's moments like these where I'm very lucky to be part of a network of other media members that know the other 29 teams in the league better than anyone. Jackson makes some great points later on the show that you'll definitely want to hear. So here are the basics. There are four teams on the list: Miami, Milwaukee, and of course, Brooklyn and Philadelphia. For a long time during the offseason, as short as it was, it seemed like Brooklyn had the upper advantage there. They really seemed to have a connection with Harden. Of course, there was the old partnership with Kevin Durant and the feeling that Steve Nash might be able to put something together. But I guess the Rockets did not like what was rumored to be part of the trade package. Then Daryl Morey gets hired by the 76ers, and that seems like a likely fit to reunite with Daryl. But if you're not willing to trade one of their potential superstars or one of their superstars on their roster, then, of course, that deal doesn't seem quite as appealing. We talk a lot about that. If you take Jackson's expertise on it, and you absolutely should, Miami's potential deal is better than anyone else's, unless if any of those other teams makes a huge change, pivots, and includes a star currently on their team. Like, say, if Miami were to somehow offer Bam Adebayo, that would seal the deal. They're not. Bam is untouchable. Jimmy's untouchable. I saw some tweet about somebody saying, Jimmy's going to force his way out, et cetera, et cetera. No, he's not. He likes it here. He chose to be here. That wasn't the case anywhere else. He's in Miami to stay at least over the next three seasons and probably beyond. He'll likely retire a member of the Heat. He's not getting traded for James Harden or anybody else at this point. We get into so many details about the news that I kind of want to take this first segment just to get into a bigger picture before we break it all down later on. It's a little bit longer show, but it's the kind of information that you need as a Heat fan. So I wanted to make sure that you got as much of it as possible. I'll be adding my perspective here because first and foremost, yes, you always make a move for James Harden or a player of that caliber. That's the bottom line. I know that's a big debate. Tim Reynolds of the AP running a poll that last time I checked was 50-50 whether or not you want James Harden on your roster. I don't know if there's ever been the possibility of a top five player in his peak and heard teams or their fans shy away from the possibility. It's ludicrous. And more importantly, Pat Riley thinks it's ludicrous. If Twitter had been around in 1995 and 2004, they would have shot down the deal for Alonzo Mourning and Shaquille O'Neal. Those turned out to be pretty good. In 95, you'd say, well, Zoe's young, but is he a proven scorer? He's just angry. He's going to get paid too much. You don't want to overpay for a guy who's mostly a defensive player and a limited scorer with no three-point shot. In 2004, you would have shot down Shaq for being too old. People did criticize it. They just didn't have Twitter to run off their mouths all the time and, you know, send out ridiculous tweets saying, I don't know if he's a great fit. It kind of worked out. You raise the ceiling of the team substantially. That's just the way it is. James changes the game single-handedly. His defense can improve, for sure, but Miami will get him there. His offense, his passing, rebounding, and, of course, his scoring is otherworldly. You do this every time. You never worry about the repercussions because it instantly makes you a top title contender capable of beating the Lakers or any other team out west. You don't like LA size? You light them up from outside. They try to send multiple defenders at you? Get them in foul trouble. You have concerns about Jimmy Butler's health and future? Yeah, see how much easier his job gets with a player like Harden in his prime. Lanes will part like the Red Sea. And for the shooters on this team, whoever's left after the trade, watch as their percentages go even higher because you have a superstar scorer like Harden that draws so much attention. It's a no-brainer. If you're worried about the fit, don't be. If you're worried about the personality, don't be. Now, Jackson gives much more detail later on the show, but I think everybody from Houston that I've talked to loves Harden the player. He is not lazy. Does he like to get after it in the parlance of the NBA circle? Yes. Will he be at Tootsie's on a random Tuesday dropping $100 bills? You better believe it. He's single and he's rich and he can afford it. But he'll be at practice the next day busting his ass just like everybody else in a Heat uniform. So don't worry about it. He is going to be a phenomenal player in Miami if they somehow are able to acquire him. Would you break up this young core? Yeah. Yeah, you would. Jimmy Butler has signed off on it. Bam Adebayo has signed off on it. This deal doesn't get done without their agreement, if it happens. You send a thank you tweet to Tyler, you thank him for his service, and you call it a day. I think Tyler's going to have a great future, but there's no way you hold up a trade for James, annual MVP candidate Harden, for Tyler or anyone else not named Bam or Jimmy. That's the reality. Now, you have to retool the roster rather quickly. The proposed trade package will send out a number of players to Houston, so you'll have to add free agents on veteran minimum deals or use the biennial exception, which Miami was likely saving until next summer. But there's still a few players that you can add. Dwayne Dedmon, he's a big that can stretch the floor. He provides some rim protection. There's some talent. There are concerns about his personality. Does that sound like maybe the kind of player that Miami could help salvage his career? Yeah, I think so. Taj Gibson, former teammate of Jimmy Butler, a low post presence, quality veteran looking to add a title before he calls it a career. Yeah, that kind of works. Emmanuel Mudiay, a big point guard with some skill and some questionable attitude that needs to prove he can still be part of the NBA before he goes back to China. Yeah, I think that'll fit. You get your depth anyway. It'll be fine. You can add other players as need be. It won't be as big a concern. Miami's strength last season, and what seemed like it would be their strength this season, was perimeter shooting, depth, and versatility. Did the Heat have the best players on average in any playoff series? No. But they had players that could step up and make up that difference. That all changes with James. Now you club opponents upside the head and worry about it all later. This is the Big Three era all over again, where you worry about how and not if Miami will win it all. This move, if it happens, makes Miami the title favorites over anyone, in my opinion. It puts you on a talent level above everyone else, including the Lakers. You stay healthy, you keep this core intact, and you retool every year, and you win multiple titles over the next few seasons. Maybe not every year. This isn't Golden State or the Chicago Bulls, but you're in the finals every year of the foreseeable future. Coming up next, I talk with Jackson Gatlin to get the Rockets' perspective on the news here on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and analysis. Later this week, I'll be continuing to answer some questions about training camp unless they make a big move for James Harden. Make sure you're up to speed by subscribing to Locked On Heat on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the newest episode. So here is Jackson Gatlin of Locked On Rockets as we talk about the potential trade, whether or not Harden would fit in Miami, and what they might want in exchange for a player of his caliber.
All right, David, we've had a doozy of a few days across the NBA landscape. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, especially in my neck of the woods concerning the Houston Rockets. And as of today, as of Thursday, we've got the reports out there that James Harden has actually added the Miami Heat to his list of teams that he would prefer to be traded to. Just give me your immediate reaction as soon as you saw that name pop up. You see the Woj tweet, the Shams tweet, and you're thinking, okay, how, you know, what gears were turning in your head regarding that?
None in particular, and it's not because there's no interest in Harden, but it's just something that had been talked about amongst local reporters. There was one sourced media member from the Miami area that had already mentioned for some weeks that Miami was one of his preferred destinations. I'm not sure why the Woj and Shams of the area of, you know, that field hadn't broken that news yet. Maybe there was some kind of generalized discussion and maybe it didn't necessarily, you know, fall into a preferred destination status or something like that. But I think people in Miami had already addressed it and known about it. And so I'd actually recorded a show a couple of weeks ago talking about the prospect of adding James Harden, because there is some dissension amongst fans. There's currently a poll running on Twitter right now as we're recording this, and it's a 50-50 split as to whether or not you even want to add Harden to this group right now. So there is already some kind of questionable interest as far as the Heat fans are concerned in Harden.
Which is, to me, that is hands down a really crazy stance to take. Yes. And again, I'm going to take all homerism, all bias out of this. This is a top five NBA yes. player in his prime for two more years, and he put you on a list of places that he would be okay with going, and you're not in, you're split 50-50? That's the crazy thing to me. Now, obviously, we're going to get into the details of what a package would look like that we think, you know, kind of makes sense for both parties involved. And I think that's where we're probably going to lose, lose some people's interest is, you know, how much would you have to put up in an offer for James Harden? But just on the surface, if you have a chance to add a player of that caliber to your team, a team that already made the finals and pushed the Lakers to six games, like, and personally for me, I think just looking at it again, as an outsider looking in, it kind of times up and it lines up a little bit better with Jimmy Butler's timeline right now, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Look, I mean, that's not my perspective. I certainly think anytime you could add one of the top players in the game at his peak, you absolutely do it. It makes absolute sense. I think there are concerns, though, and maybe you can speak to this. This is one of the questions I had going into, you know, this segment is, are the concerns about his off-the-court interests overblown? Like, obviously, what's happened over the last couple of weeks is very, very different. He's trying to force his way out of Houston. At least that's what it seems to me, again, from an outsider's perspective. But we hear about, you know, his interest in clubs and clubbing life, and, you know, he dated a Kardashian, all these things that kind of scares off your more typical fan, maybe not the ones that are as deeply embedded as we are. But, you know, how do you rate his off-the-court interest versus his level of professionalism overall? Because I think when you look at this Heat team, they want basketball-obsessed personalities. And while I think it's pretty well accepted that James is always prepared, ready for camp, ready for practice, and of course he has incredible longevity, although maybe some people would question whether or not his performance wanes a little bit in the playoffs, I think overall you would say that he is an absolute hard worker and, you know, would fit well with Miami. But I think from the fan perspective, maybe they question whether or not he's just going to be coming to Miami and then spending all of his time in South Beach and not necessarily in American Airlines Arena.
I think it's, I think there's definitely, some reservations to be had there a little bit, but I also think it's a little bit more overblown currently because of the state of things over the last, say, couple weeks, or just how things have progressed and gotten worse and worse this offseason specifically. In the season, over the last few years, you know, because there was a period of time there where you could have legitimate questions about James Harden and his integrity about, you know, going out, clubbing after playoff losses, the whole Kardashian situation. Yeah, but that was a less immature version of Harden from years ago. And then you look at what he's done recently and in season over the past few years, he is one of the hardest working individuals. He's putting in the work night in and night out to be the best version of himself that he can be. And specifically, a story stands out to me. Beat writer Jonathan Fagan for the Houston Chronicle captured a moment where James Harden, after a win, James was in the weight room, just doing a post game workout, which is his routine. So rather than just immediately going and hitting an ice bath or relaxing or whatever after a hard fought win, Russ is walking by the room. He's like, "What are you doing, man?" And the quote was, "I'm just trying to get better." And, you know, this isn't like an isolated moment. This is a work ethic that beat writers and reporters have covered for James Harden thoroughly over the last few seasons. So I don't think it's necessarily a concern from that element. And when you're looking at what happened this offseason specifically, I think there's a lot that you can point to about his discontent with the Rockets organization that fed into his decision to not report for training camp on time. The look for him, you know, out partying in the middle of COVID-19 is not a great look whatsoever, yes. regardless of you know, the NBA politics involved. But past that, you're getting, this is a guy who ultimately wants to win. You know, that's his ultimate goal, and why this trade request formulated in the first place is he doesn't believe that Houston has the capability to be a championship contender anymore. And the Houston brass and Houston front office are trying to convince him otherwise, which is why they're trying to hold on to him, you know, carry him into the season. Hopefully he gets under Steven Silas and the new look Houston Rockets, and maybe has a newfound interest in what they're trying to accomplish here. But that's why the trade request happened, is he doesn't think they're a contender anymore. The Miami Heat are absolutely contenders. You know, you come away from the finals pushing the Lakers to six games. Yeah, the Lakers got better, and I think that's why if there's even a remote possibility that you can add James Harden to that roster, you have to do it, because the Lakers already got better, and you only took them to six. So if you can add James Harden, you do it. Now the question is, what pieces can you reasonably part with if you're Miami?
Well, I think we're limited in that regard. And I think, you know, because of their current salary cap situation, it's not, they're not quite hard cap, but they're just around there. And I think there's a package that's being discussed that seems like it's not really movable. Like you can't alter it very much. There can be some minor tweaks here and there, but overall, because of Harden's salary right now, you have to move certain players in order to acquire him. So I think it starts off first and foremost with Tyler Hero probably being the best, most interesting piece for Houston fans. Hero, a player that I'm probably a little higher on than most. I think he has all-star potential. He's a great shooter. He embraces big moments. He's probably, alongside Wall, I think probably the guy who will have the ball in his hands in the waning moments of the game. So to me, that's a nice fit there. I like his game a lot, and I think he's only 20 years old. He's really committed to the grind and the work ethic, and everybody from the organization raves about his work ethic. I've talked to a personal trainer of his that works for him in the area and was able to actually work with him during the hiatus following mid-March, and he absolutely loves Hero's game and transition to the next level as far as being able to one day become a superstar in this league. Aside from that, you'd probably have to acquire or throw in one of Duncan Robinson or Kendrick Nunn. I'm sure you probably have your preference, and I'll gauge that in a second, but you might have to trade in Precious Achiuwa, the rookie they just drafted this year. Kelly Olynyk would be included in that deal. Andre Iguodala would be included in that deal for salary cap purposes. And then you'd also have to throw in two first rounders, but of course there is some issues there, because right now Miami owes a 2023 first round pick that's lottery protected to Oklahoma City. And if they, you know, don't fall into the lottery that year, then that pick would convey in 2024. So it would be a problem. So you have to remove the protections from that pick. And then you could trade a 2025, 2027 pick to the Rockets in exchange for Harden. So that seems like the standard deal that I've seen floated around. Hero, Robinson or Nunn, Olynyk and Iguodala, and the two first rounders, and possibly including Precious Achiuwa.
And, you know, when you're looking at things too, especially because the biggest issue, you know, surrounding this is we don't exactly know, you know, pretty much every Eastern Conference team, because right now we're looking at the Nets, the 76ers, the Heat and the Bucks are the top four rumored teams, which is, first off, it's just great posturing by new GM Rafael Stone to have the cream of the crop of the East all pitted against each other in this James right. Harden bidding war. He's absolutely driving up the market price on James Harden, which is absolutely the right move at this point in time. But, you know, the first thing that catches my eye is those picks, you know, 2025, 2027. That's absolutely somewhere along the timeline of picks that you would want in a James Harden deal, because you'd imagine that, you know, as James Harden ages, as Jimmy Butler age, you know, that's, we're talking 4 years down the line from now, those guys are going to be both 35 or 36 years old when the first pick of those convey. And you can reasonably imagine that the Miami Heat would not be looking so hot at that point, you know, potentially after a couple championships, you know, if they were to acquire the talents of James Harden. But I think that when you're looking at Tyler Hero as the centerpiece of a James Harden trade, there's going to be a lot of people that turn their nose up at that. I'm very much interested in Tyler Hero, and I do think he has a really high ceiling. But, you know, my thing is Hero after just one season good enough to be, you know, essentially the centerpiece of a James Harden trade? And I think that's where you're going to see some pushback from fans who on the Rocket side are saying, well, it can't be Hero. It has to be Bam that you put in there. But Bam is largely, he's an untouchable asset at this point.
Yes, I'd agree there. And you have valid questions regarding Hero. I think he'll wind up starting this year. You know, he did have some occasional starts in his rookie year. We saw him, you know, he's a closer for this team, which is, I think, an important distinction too, is that maybe he doesn't start because of his weaknesses defensively, and you want to field a better, more aggressive lineup, and that's why Kendrick Nunn was starting for most of the season. But then you saw that change in the bubble where Nunn was taken out of the lineup, Goran was starting, and you throw Hero in there on occasion, and only when Dragic was hurt did you start Tyler Hero. And I think he, you know, he showed flashes there. He's a good playmaker. He made a big leap during that hiatus as far as his improved passing and trying to make plays for others. Obviously, he has great potential as a three-level scorer, and I think he can get to another level. He's bulked up a little bit during the offseason. It wasn't very long, but again, at 20 years old, he shows incredible promise, dedication, work ethic, everything that you think of when you look at a potential star in the making. And yeah, he's young, but think of it this way. It's basically getting, I think, the equivalent of like a top five pick in the draft, because although he was taken later in the lottery, I think his talent level is above where he was selected. And I think he's probably closer to, like, again, a top five pick in terms of potentially making a bigger impact for the rest of his career. I do see him as being a multi-time all-star, a guy who's going to be a high level scorer. Maybe he doesn't improve defensively to the point where he's considered a two-way player, but maybe like a little bit better version of a Jamal Crawford, somewhere along those lines, a guy who can really get you a bucket whenever you need one. And you can count on him again in clutch situations, because he does seem to embrace those moments in a way that most players do not.
Look, for any fans of University of Houston sports, I don't have to say it. You know, Tyler Hero is going to bring back some nightmares for you if you're a UH Cougars basketball fan. So he is definitely not a guy who shies away from those clutch moments.
Coming up next, we talk a little bit about how Miami's potential trade package compares to some of the other suitors in the Eastern Conference for his services. It's a great conversation with me and Jackson Gatlin of Locked On Rockets. And you stay here on Locked On Heat. Reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. And here is the last segment with Jackson Gatlin of Locked On Rockets to talk about some more details regarding the potential trade for James Harden.
Really, the other part that we've left out of this so far is, you know, even if you talking Bam in any version of this trade is pretty much a non-starter, because as you were discussing in the beginning, the Heat are not quite hard cap, but they're kind of like floating around that range. And right. Bam is on a poison pill contract right now because of his extension. On the surface, I think that that package that you discussed, and laying out that core of young players, the two future firsts, I think that's a really competitive package if the Ben Simmons package isn't on the table. But that's the one right now where the ball is kind of in Daryl Morey's court at this point, because if he throws up Ben Simmons in a trade package, there's pretty much no team out there that can beat that, because Ben Simmons is the most established young cornerstone type player who could be reasonably had in a James Harden deal from any of these other competing franchises. Maybe you make the argument Jaylen Brown might be a better situation, but it doesn't seem like Boston is inclined to give up on Brown yet and to trade him for a James Harden situation. So, I guess just this is going to be a situation that obviously we're going to both be monitoring very closely at Locked On Rockets and Locked On Heat as the season progresses. And it's definitely something that hopefully, on our end, hopefully we're not revisiting this anytime soon. But if the rumors start swirling again and things look like they're picking up steam, we'll absolutely be revisiting this topic further down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, though, and you'd obviously be able to speak to this a lot better than most, how likely is it that they'll trade him? Because, again, from the outsider's perspective, it seems like he's burned as many bridges as possible. But you kind of made it seem like there was some level of optimism within the organization that they can kind of rekindle a relationship with James, keep him under the fold there, and then kind of build this season and look to next year as far as whatever their potential is, and maybe kind of revisit the issue at that point. But if you had to lay odds on him being with his franchise for the start of the regular season, what would those be?
For being with them at the start of the regular season, I think 100%. He's going to be here to start the regular season. And I see that because Rafael Stone realizes that there's no harm in waiting. he can only better his odds of getting a decent trade package back for James Harden if he waits. Because if he rushes into a deal, if he had pulled the trigger the moment James Harden requested a trade in the first place, we'd be talking about Torian Prince and Spencer Dinwiddie and Jarrett Allen as Houston Rockets and, you know, Caris LeVert. And that's not a great package, unfortunately. So the Nets have no leverage. The 76ers really don't have any leverage, because at the end of the day, James Harden is still under contract for 2 years. And he's going to show up. He's going to play. And the hopes are, based on what we've heard via reporting, all that stuff, is that he has been in communication with new assistant coach John Lucas, who is one of the kind of the quote unquote old guard from the past regime under Mike D'Antoni. And so the hope is that you just get him suited up, get him into training camp, get the season started. And if they get out, they hit the ground running, and then maybe, you know, they get out to a decent start. You're talking a 9-3, 10-3 kind of start, something like that. A really hot start to the season. Then maybe you look over the aisle and maybe the Nets aren't performing so well. Maybe the 76ers are struggling a little bit. And then maybe he realizes that the grass isn't necessarily greener on the other side, and that this roster that Stone has put together for him is actually dynamic and versatile and better, in my opinion, at least on paper. Yes, there's big question marks surrounding it as far as John Wall's health, DeMarcus Cousins' health, all that stuff. But on paper, this roster is really talented. This roster is versatile. It's dynamic. It's got a lot more depth to it and layers to it. And the key word that we've heard from Coach Steven Silas is optionality. And that's not something the Rockets had in previous years. They had a lot of guys who were really good at one or two elements of the game, and then the rest of their game was just, you know, atrocious. A lot of 3-and-D guys, Clint Capella, who's very much a, not a three-dimensional player, you know, very much, very limited offensively. Yes, he was the defensive anchor, but, you know, those teams very much lived and died by James Harden. This iteration of the team, James Harden is more so like the tip of the spear, obviously, as the lethal point of attack. But then you're actually getting, you know, a cast of players around him who can contribute a little bit more, and who, in a system under Steven Silas, it shouldn't be as, you know, basically James is the sun and everybody else orbits him. It's going to be a little bit more of a team-oriented scheme. So I think that's the hope for Rockets fans, and that's why they want to keep James Harden in and see how things play out, at least up until the trade deadline.
So how would you rate all the other potential packages from the proposed suitors as far as Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philadelphia are concerned? Because I think it's pretty clear that Simmons is likely off the table at this point in time, and maybe will be there down the road as well. So assuming he's not in a package, obviously that makes the Sixers package trump all others. How does Miami's proposed deal fit in that scale?
So if you're looking at it, and again, you know, there are a few, you know, of the rumored packages, you know, so you're looking at a Miami deal centered on Hero. You're looking at we can't even say a Boston deal centered on Jaylen Brown, since that's not even being reported. A Bucks deal centered on God knows what. You know, would they be willing to give up Middleton? Are they only looking at giving up, you know, would they flip Drew Holiday again? You know, whatever that deal would consist of, there's, you know, in a group chat that I'm in, somebody suggested Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday for Harden and Eric Gordon, because then you offload Eric Gordon's contract, You get back Middleton and Drew, and that might be, you know, a potentially exciting team, even though it doesn't exactly gear you up for the future. It keeps you sort of competitive in the here and now in a weird way. I think that at this point, what you get back for James Harden has to be something that sets you up for the future. So I would say that if Ben Simmons is off the table, then the Heat have a really compelling package, even if it is centered around Hero and not Bam Adebayo. But there's a dark horse team out there that hasn't been rumored yet, but that could make a potential splashy play if they wanted to, and that's the Denver Nuggets. If they throw MPJ on the table, that's a really interesting dynamic where, even though it's not at the top of Harden's list, the Nuggets, third seed, you know, went to the Western Conference Finals, had a couple of really impressive 3-1 comebacks, a backcourt of Jamal Murray, James Harden, and Nikola Jokic holding it down low. That's a really interesting team. But would they be willing to, I guess, punt on the upside of MPJ down the line? And you kind of find yourself in the similar situation as Tyler Hero with MPJ, although I do firmly agree Tyler Hero's shown more than MPJ so far. That would be another interesting dark horse offer, but I do think Miami's offer is, definitely at the top of the pack if the Ben Simmons offer isn't on the table.
Interesting. Well, it sounds, you know, we'll be revisiting this, I'm sure, at some point.
Oh, it seems at least once or twice for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so weird. Again, it's hard to get a nuance for everything, but with the new front office and all the changes that have taken place there, and then to see his behavior, I would have thought that he was, you know, going to get traded within the next week or so, that they'd want to be able to just break off as cleanly as possible before the start of the regular season. But you're kind of painting a different picture here, a much more nuanced one than I would have expected. And Miami, you know, I don't think they were – interested in making a move right away. Like, yeah, you heard some connection to them about a month or so ago, but they liked their roster. They made whatever changes they needed to make over the offseason, keeping whatever flexibility they wanted to keep for 2021, because the goal was at that point in time Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think they've kind of pivoted a little bit, which is why they gave Bam Adebayo the extension they did, and maybe they're looking to add another third superstar there, or third star depending on how you look at Bam. And you know, I think Harden fits very, very well with what Miami wants to do. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out. I would have put Miami at being very, very interested now that I think the Giannis deal potentially is off the books.
Yeah, and I think that once that we just saw the Paul George extension with the Clippers, and so right. He's locked down. And I think once we see what happens regarding the Giannis potential extension, as well as if Kawhi Leonard signs any form of an extension, then the market for James Harden becomes even more interesting, because then once you see those star players be locked down and suddenly their futures aren't in question for teams that might be able to make a play for them next summer, then maybe you even see a situation like Paul George and Kawhi teaming up in LA, where Kawhi or Giannis decide they're going to leave somewhere in free agency, and they say, hey, if you can trade for Harden, go get me Harden and I'll sign with you. And then bam, we see Giannis and Harden team up somewhere, or we see Harden and Kawhi team up somewhere. There's endless possibilities to this, which all, again, circles back to the idea that Stone is being patient with it, and that's the best thing you can hope for in this situation, because if you put all your chips on the table, if you make a rushed trade too quickly, then you're going to find yourself in a compromised position, whereas if you had just held your ground a little bit, stood firm, then you not only give yourself the chance to potentially remedy the relationship with James Harden, but you also put yourself up and set yourself up for success further down the line as far as, you know, more attractive trade offers.
You never quite answered it. I forgot to bring it up again, but as far as either Kendrick Nunn or Duncan Robinson, which one of those would be a preferred player to include in any kind of a proposed package?
You know, there's
Robinson does have a tie to Raphael Stone, which I did not know. They both went to Williams College, I guess, so they're both alumni there. Maybe that's already then a foregone conclusion that Robinson would be included. Obviously, their games are very, very different, but I wonder, again, from your perspective, how you see each of them fitting with this retooled roster.
You know, it's really tough, because you look at exactly what the Rockets' areas of weakness are, and it would be phenomenal, you know, if we're, you know, entertaining that hypothetical trade package, it'd be phenomenal to get two lethal shooters in Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. But
three with Olynyk too. Olynyk is underrated, but he's a, you know, almost about a 40% shooter as a 7-footer.
That's totally fair. You know, and I was kind of, I wasn't thinking Olynyk only because, you know, I was still considering him as kind of salary filler, and he is on the older end of the spectrum. So it's kind of one of those where, you know, I was looking more at the youth that would be received back in the trade, but you're absolutely right in that regard. You know, Rockets fans have been clamoring for a lights out shooter for, it seems like, upwards of a decade now. And it's crazy to think that, you know, in a system, you know, spearheaded by Daryl Morey that prioritized threes more than any other team in the league, that they've never had one of those lights out 3-point specialists over this last decade or so, at least in the James Harden era. You know, the closest you probably got was Ryan Anderson, but he kind of tapered off a little bit there, unfortunately. And he was more so, again, a volume shooter than just a precise shooter. But I kind of would say I'd kind of lean none, because they're definitely, you know, lacking in the backup guard department. As far as a secondary ball handler, especially if you're giving up James Harden. Right now, their only two ball handlers are James Harden and John Wall. So, but either one of those guys remain, you know, really interesting options. And the scary thing is, though, in any trade for either involving either one of them, they both only got 1 year left. And so, you know, both of those guys are probably going to be looking for paydays next offseason, especially Duncan Robinson for sure. We saw how handsomely shooters got paid this past offseason. Davis Bertans secured his bag. Joe Harris. There we go. I wanted to say Josh Harris, and I'm like, that's not right. Joe Harris absolutely secured the bag. So the worry, I think, is that Duncan Robinson next summer is going to receive a pretty massive payday And does that factor into the future plans for a team that would be very much in flux at that point? Because if you're committing a lot of money to John Wall, Duncan Robinson, and you'd still have Eric Gordon on the books at that point, that's about $80 million committed to those three guys. That's not exactly a championship contender, unfortunately.
Wow. Wow. So much to think about.
A lot of different angles to attack this from. We could have gone on for an entire podcast, but it was important that we at least tackle this, get this out of the way and introduce our listeners to it from the get-go, because this is absolutely a conversation that we very, very may well find ourselves having a little bit further down the line in this season.
Yeah. Anything else from a Rockets perspective that you'd like to know about Miami's interest in James?
If James makes it to South Beach, please just let him win a ring. It will silence all the haters. He needs it for his legacy, and just take care of him. He's a good, exciting player to watch. He's one of the most entertaining players in the league. That's my parting message for Heat fans if they suddenly luck into James Harden.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be the goal, as it almost always is with Miami. At least that's the stated goal. But I think they really believe they have the potential to make another title run this year. And obviously adding James Harden improves their chances substantially. So I would think they would be looking to secure at least one championship for him within the next 3 or 4 years. There you have it. Great conversation. So much nuance and detail there. I'm psyched up. From a human perspective, I don't necessarily want to see any trades happen. I hate the idea of trades because it's somewhat dehumanizing. That's a whole bigger conversation I don't feel like having right now. James Harden is a very talented player, and while you don't necessarily care for his style of play, drawing fouls, step back threes, it makes the game much more exciting in many ways, and you win a lot of games. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to see if it plays out. Personally, I kind of think Miami gets this deal done. I think they pivot from Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think they look at James Harden and see him as a superstar player that you can get right now. And you don't necessarily have to move a lot in order to get it done. And if you're already rumored or reported as being interested in Harden services, it's likely that you think you can't get Giannis next year anyway. Maybe you could include James in a potential sign and trade for a player like Giannis Antetokounmpo. That makes a lot of sense too. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. A lot of dominoes have to fall in the basket, to quote my old co-host, Wes Goldberg. But stay tuned here. Of course, we'll have all the coverage for you, as always. As far as the 2021 season is concerned, it's almost here, and Locked On NBA will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning next week, December 14th. Get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 of our Locked On local experts, including me. Plus, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get podcasts. Remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support.